Thank you, Dustin. All right, let's continue with this rather long outline. If I don't finish it, you can finish it yourself or with a few others. We come now to this point, Roman numeral four, and this is coming back to 1 Thessalonians 2 to talk about the fostering of the young and new believers. This was very much Paul's emphasis in those two epistles, where he was concerned that they would know how to live a holy life after they're saved, and to have a holy living, even a holy church life, all in the view of the Lord's coming. And so much so that he would talk to them, these believers, in the most endearing, in the most personal, in the most loving and intimate fashion, as only a true parent, a true mother, and a real father, a genuine one, can do. You know, sometimes you have to, in raising a child, you have to discipline them a little bit. But when you discipline, the child would know, it's this just your flesh, it's this even there's an element of hatred there, or exasperation, or are you really doing this with reason and especially with love? So the attitude, the heart, the spirit makes all the difference. In the end, I say again, brothers and sisters, it's not about the way. There is the God-ordained way, but those are principles. It's not about technique, how to save souls, or a formula, how to gain people. It's whether you care for people, whether you love them or concern for them, and not only to gain people to save them, but so many that are become young believers and new believers. So many are orphaned in a way, from youth, from their spiritual youth, because there's no parenting, there's no one caring for them in this kind of a genuine and personal way. I hope this kind of speaking, Francis, is not just adding to our knowledge and understanding, but these will really change the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we serve. It should even affect your priority and decisions. Look, We customarily, and no following Brother Lee's lead, said that there are two kinds of full-timers. One are those who are job-dropping, and the other are the money-making. And over time, I find that maybe it's in even those titles or those descriptions may have given an erroneous impression to the saints. Job-dropping is one thing, but the money making, I'm not a job dropping full timer. I'm a money making full timer. I just all day long make money to give to support the job dropping full timer. Well, that's good. I appreciate that heart. But I'm afraid in many cases that become also an excuse. Well, these job dropping, their business, their responsibilities, go take care of people, go to the campus, make appointments, preach the gospel. Me, that's not my share. My share is go to the office, make more money. And well, in a sense, it is correct. But in another sense, it's not correct. We're all full-timers in the Lord's presence. We all should be a full-timer at heart. And not only so, And not only so, yes, we make money. Yes, we give to the Lord for the support of those who are full-time. But this does not take away our need to directly and personally and regularly to contact people for the Lord, to gain the increase, to build up others, to foster others. No. And I have seen good examples of brothers who are making money for the Lord, but they are also caring for people. They're not even just going to Sunday morning or going to a meeting. You know, my main work is during the week to make more money for the Lord. Well, would I say in broad brush that's wrong? I wouldn't. But I have definitely seen cases after cases that becomes a trap. And this person become usurped eventually by money making in the name of the Lord to placate their conscience. Well, I'm here making money for the Lord. But actually, in the end, it's making money for yourself. I like to see money making full-timers caring for people. No, you cannot care for as many, and don't have as many hours as the job-dropping ones, but you have time. You still have time. If you have a heart, they can take care of a bigger number. You can take care of one or two or three or four. Dear ones, dear brothers and sisters, this is our salvation. Caring for people for the Lord will save us practically. Today, in our living today, so that we won't be just entirely entrapped, entangled by worldly pursuits, by the deceitfulness of riches, by just even entrapped by that kind of lifestyle. We would be saved because we need to give time for people. And in order to feed them and give them food at the appointed time, we have to spend time in prayer and in the Word. All this will save us. And to invite them into your homes to prepare a meal for them, to care for them, will sanctify your home, your children. No. It's not that I'm just make a couple of meetings and the rest of the time I'm a money maker. That doesn't cut it. That's wrong, I would even say, a wrong concept. We just have a little less time, but we have other things that we can bring to bear in the care of people that a single full-time, job-dropping full-timer cannot do. Our homes, our heart should be for people. Okay, let's go on in four. Fostering the young and new believers. A, as a nursing mother cherishing her own children. I can just read this. Even though Paul was a brother, he considered himself a nursing mother. He had no thought of position, dignity, or authority. A nursing mother's dignity consists in nourishing and cherishing her children, in taking care of them in a tender way. The word cherish is a word of utmost tenderness. Paul regarded himself as a cherishing one, not merely as one who serves. He cared for the believers. His care for the believers was full of tenderness. You know what that means? That means it's not about a method. It's about attitude. It's about heart. The word yearning, you know, Paul used these kind of words, a lot of feeling, a lot of tenderness, a lot of emotions, if I may say so, in these words he used. as far as his relationship with the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8 indicates being affectionately fond of, full of affection, fondness, desire, affectionately desirous of, like a nursing mother affectionately interested in her child, whom he nourishes and cherishes. This was the apostles did, what the apostles did with the new believers. Moms and dads, may I say a word to you? Yes, you should bear the human responsibility properly to care for your own children in the flesh, to care for them, to cherish and nourish them, to foster them, to educate them. Of course, no child abandonment at all, bearing our God-given responsibility. But that caring of our own physical family, biological family, should not be a replacement of our caring for God's family. Brother Lee once said that those who are married and without children, they cannot bear children physically. It's good so that they can bear more spiritual children. And here we are talking about our own children in a spiritual sense, but still our own children. Just to have physical children is not good enough. We need some spiritual children. We need some spiritual descendants. This is normal. This is right. Don't just take care of your family. Yes, take care of it. I'm not saying don't. I need to do my best to take care of my family. But no, not just for my family, so that I can be proud and I can say my children is this or that. What about your heart, your burden, your time spent on others? Your spiritual children? Or do you have any spiritual children? It is wrong. It is wrong not to have your own spiritual children that you care for and pray for. In cherishing the believers as their own children, the apostles consider themselves a nursing mother. In exhorting the believers, a father. People, young people that you nurse, that you exhort. Two, Paul was a father exhorting his children as such an exhorting father. Paul seemed to be saying, children, we're here only for you. Without you, life is meaningless. If it were not for you, we would not want even to live. Wow. Wow, brothers and sisters. Without these ones under our care, some ones under your care, life is meaningless. Even the Christian life is lacking purpose. If it were not for you, we won't even want to live. You know what that means? Translation? We live for others. We don't live for ourselves. The reason we live is for others, for their benefit, for their welfare, for their well-being, for their standing one day before the Lord. And there's so much to this kind of fostering and shepherding work. It takes time, takes energy, and most of all, it takes dedication and commitment. You know, parenting is a matter of commitment. It's firstly not method, it's firstly commitment. Are you committed to raise up these children? Yes, you are. They're your own. But how about spiritually? We need a change. We need a change in concept. Travailing in birth until Christ is formed in them. That's Paul. Travail refers to painful toil in childbirth. In this metaphor, in Galatians 4:19, Paul likened himself to a mother who gives birth to a child. Paul had labored in this way to regenerate the Galatians when he first preached the gospel to them, because they had deviated from the gospel that he had preached to them. He was toiling again in travail until Christ would be formed in them. Well, what a dear word. I travail in birth. Again, I did it once, I'm doing it again to rescue you from being distracted by being deceived by the law, by the Judaizers, by the keeping of letters, of commandments, rather than taking the way of faith, the way of organic union, the way of the Spirit. So he has to speak to them again. And to them, to him, this is a toiling, as in a travail, as it with birth pangs, until Christ would be formed in them again. To have Christ form in the believers is to have Christ fully grown in them. First, Christ was born into us at the time we repented and believed in him. Then he lives in us in our Christian life. And finally, he will be formed in us at our maturity. You know, in Colossians, Paul says he taught, he struggled with a great struggle according to the inner operation of power within him, to teach every man, to admonish every man, and eventually to present every man full grown in Christ. Paul's job was hardly done just by a little bit of caring. He considered it's a lifelong duty of his to make sure the believers will become full grown. Some of us who are grandparents know even your children can be older, they are parents themselves. You still need to shepherd them and care for them. Am I right? It's endless, endless, brothers. But what else can we do? We have been commissioned. We have been given two denarii to care for people, to care for the saints. First, Christ was born into us at the time we repented and believed in him. Then he lives in us in our Christian life. And finally, he will be formed in us at our maturity. How many manpower is needed here? We need all the saints. We need you all, brothers and sisters. If each one will take care of two or three, or one or two, or how about start with one? Brothers and sisters, so many more will be taken care of. This is what we need in the church life today. This is how we will gain increase. This is how we will retain the people that we save or that are in the church life. All right, number five, please, number five, contacting sinners. I'll just do this, huh? Contacting sinners, seekers and saints out of love and burden, not as a duty or necessity. Very important. Duty can take a parent so far, or necessity. Love and burdens will go all the way. There's no power in this universe as the power of love. There's no motivation on this earth today as the motivation that comes from an inner burden. That drive, that thing that impels you, not just compel, but impels you to do something, to be inconvenienced, to suffer even for people because of a burden. That's not duty or necessity. We all have to be brought to this point. We all have to be brought to this point. So the church life is no longer a routine, do the minimum church life. It's a church life with love and burden, with love and burden for people. So here, write down the names. Start with writing down names. We need to review all our acquaintances and make a list of them. Acquaintances include our relatives, neighbors, friends, schoolmates, and colleagues. These are to seek the unsaved or the seeking ones. Start there. Start with one. Pray for one. Start to write down the names before the Lord, a few names to start. Praying for their spiritual welfare constantly. Start praying for them. Before you even make contact with them, start praying for them. This is the kind of conception that is a burden is now being conceived in you that will result in a childbirth. We need to pray over the name list and seek the Lord's leading concerning who should be the first for us to take care of. Prioritize. Look to the Lord's leading. The Lord knows. If we pray in this way, the Lord will lead us and we will have the burden to contact specific people. The Lord will lead. Look, the Lord is burdened for them more than we are. He will lead. He will guide. Once he found a channel on this earth, he will flow. Once he finds an available and ready vessel on the earth, he will use. Brothers and sisters, make yourself available to him, not just available to yourself and your private interest, but to the Lord for his interest. We should also keep ourselves open to the Lord for his leading to visit people, contact people, brothers. This is how the burden increases and how we express our care and love. The Lord did that. He spent time. He go from town to town. He didn't sit at home and wait for people to knock on his doors. He went around to knock on their doors to look for people. You know, you have to have a heart to do that. That's why the missionaries, they went far and wide, not knowing whether they will come back or not to their homeland. But they're so burdened for souls in these foreign places, nations. And that's why today the gospel is spread all over the earth by burdened people. Visiting them regularly for shepherding. We can visit people by making appointments with them. We must do this not only continually, but also continuously, day by day. Contact them. It's good to make appointments, you know, maybe appointment is not a good word, just a regular time. Maybe it's a meal each week. Maybe it's coffee each couple of times a week. Maybe it's one lunch hour, but make it regular. Regularity will make our contact continual and continuous. This is the slow way, but this is the solid way to help people and to gain them. We need to have the practice of a habit of inviting people to have dinner with us. Open your home. This is not just Saturday group meeting. This is other nights, other times, Lord's Day, evenings, during the week. No need to put up a big feast. Simple dinner. While at the dinner table, so many things can happen. Going out to visit people should be a part of our daily Christian life. We should budget our time for going out to visit people, setting definite goals and bearing remaining fruit. I say again, start small. Don't be too ambitious. Just start with one person, two persons. Bringing them to home meetings. We must have proper home meetings in order for our fruit to remain. we must learn to skillfully grasp the time to speak something of the word concerning Christ, concerning God's salvation, even if only for a few minutes. We should always keep in mind that if someone is a new believer, our primary purpose in the home meeting is to feed them. This so-called home meeting is almost synonymous with appointments. It could be just you and this person. It could be another saint, your companion, your vital companion, taking care of this one or taking care of this couple with children, this family, this one, that one, this colleague, and of course, our own young people. Oh, young people, they respond to care. They respond to care. Yeah, they're naughty. They're kind of goofy. I know that. But I tell you, they respond to care. Here it says even a few minutes. We have more than that. More than that. Then establishing them in the church life. Finally, we should not forget the goal of gaining people is to bring them into the proper church life for the increase of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. We should not wait too long before bringing the new believers into the practice of the church life. We should help them to realize that Christians are like sheep of a flock. We should also train our new ones to prophesy. The church will be built up step by step as we and our new ones prophesy in the meetings. Please don't take this as, the God-ordained way again. No, it's about a boast, right? The boast. Remember the title of this outline? Our crown of boasting. It's about people, brothers and sisters. And let me just read the last. I'll just read it because the brothers have some important announcements after I finish here. 6, take the way of persistence and endeavor, undeterred by obstacles, not disappointed by setbacks, and not expecting quick results. What will do this? Burden, love, genuine care, to not never give up, to always have hope. According to the divine operation in us, the God-ordained way is a laboring way. To labor is more than a work, to work. Without our laboring, there can be no practice of the God-ordained way. Paul did not labor according to his own ability or strength, but according to Christ's operation, which operates in him in power, one person at a time. The most effective way to contact people is one by one. The best way to conduct gospel dialogue is with one person at a time. Whenever someone speaks, you discern what kind of person he is and where he is coming from. And lastly, by admonishing, teaching, and presenting. Paul taught, admonished, and warned the saints face to face. By this teaching from house to house, Paul ministered Christ to the saints to cause them to grow in life. By growing in Christ, eventually we will arrive at the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, which is the body of Christ, the expression of Christ. Brothers and sisters, there is a sinner waiting for you. There is a seeker waiting for you out there. There's a saint waiting for you, a needy saint. There's a young person in the church waiting for you. There's a college student waiting for you. The need is there. So I hope this word is of help to you. A warning and also a great encouragement. May we be found with joy and glory and a crown of boasting in that day. I stop here. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Minoru. And saints, before you log off, if you'll just leave just a few minutes for a special announcement today. Before I speak that, though, I just would like to briefly respond to this word. Don't you just have the sense of the Lord's heart for man? I was reminded that the verse, our Savior God desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And it's a bit heartbreaking that up until now, we may not have been so one with the Lord in his care, in his heart. But if the Lord can gain our heart, then he can gain a way, especially amongst our generation, the working saints. It is time for us to no longer look at ourselves only, but to be one with our loving Lord, to contact all those who are suffering in the world, suffering in so many ways, and needing the Lord in their life. So may we be those who pray, first of all, that the Lord would gain our heart and begin to pick up just one or two and shepherd, contact regularly. I feel personally, this is some of the most joyous experiences, is when the Lord has touched me regarding a particular person. I'm one with the Lord a little to pray and then contact. And how the Lord shepherds them is always just such a joy to me personally. So amen to this word. May we rise up and not only hear the word, but also be doers of the word. Okay, I'd like to just transition then. So the announcement for a special announcement here is we would like to let you know that the 2022 NorCal Labor Day Conference is in person. We're very happy for this. It's been several years. And prior to the pandemic, NorCal, we had built up quite a muscle for meeting in terms of our ability to be together and really blend. And so this NorCal Blending Labor Day Conference, we feel this is the first such return. NorCal-wide, we can be together. We can see each other. Now, it will be held as previously in the Hyatt Regency. So for those who haven't been there, it's a very, very nice venue. There's an atrium. There are restaurants. You can run into each other. You can see ones you haven't seen. You can even bring some newer ones, shepherding. There even will be young people's meetings, children's meetings. Of course, there's a pool. So it's a very, very special time. And if at all possible, please consider coming in person. There will be a Zoom option, but we would hope that's only utilized by those who physically can't come for other specific reasons. But the dates, as a reminder, are going to be September 2 through 4. That's Friday, Saturday, and Lord's Day. More information will follow later in email form for your ability to get a room, which will be slightly bought down, for example, to help with the cost. So please pray about this, consider this, and do your best to come and blend. Amen, saints. Lastly, August 20th will be the resumption of this fellowship. So it'll be the beginning of the next term of the Working Saints Perfecting Fellowship. There will not be sessions between now and August 20th. So amen, saints. I think we can end here. And because of some issues with ones coming that were not invited, we will not be able to unmute and pray, but you can pray where you are and bring this word to the Lord. Okay, saints, amen. We'll end here.